When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35. This is a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
We're not. We're two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
I'm so excited because you're going to share something that you texted me last night.
Oh, yeah, I sure am.
And I'm like kind of in the mood to dig into nails today. So why don't we just get into this?
Let's get into this. So I was sent some products by a company called Dr. Dana. And they sent me two of their products. One of the things they sent me was a nail renewal system that revitalizes dry, brittle nails instantly.
Instantly.
And then they also sent me their no polish manicure set. Get shiny, healthy nails instantly. And Kate, I got to admit, I was skeptical.
Well, that's how you operate.
That's how I am. I can't fight who I am.
No. You can't, and quite honestly, I wouldn't want you to.
And you know what? I hope that this makes listeners take what I say seriously because I am such a skeptic.
You are. Dori does not suffer fools when it comes to testing out products.
No. So when I say that something works, it works. And so I was like, okay, my nails could use some renewal. My nails are kind of not... like, they're not the best. I'm going to try this nail renewal system. And what it is first you put on a glycolic prep for nails that comes in like this little, I'm holding it up, Kate, can you see it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like a little brush.
Pencil.
Yeah, a little like that twists and the stuff comes out through the brush and you brush it on your nails and you let that dry. And then they also include this. There's like a three-part nail file.
I love this kind of nail file.
So on one side, it says 01. And then the other side, there's two different colors, 02 and 03. So you brush, and this is the priming wand. So you sweep surface 01 over nails 2 to 5 times until a powdery overlay appears. Then you repeat with surface 02. Pressing more firmly, sweep surface 03 across nails until they become glossy. And I was sort of like, okay. So I do it. And I'm like, oh, my nails do look kind of glossy. And then the last step is the deep hydrating formula. It's like a gel oil and you're supposed to put it like on your nails and your cuticles. And it says reapply as needed throughout the week. And you're supposed to do this once a week.
Okay.
So the first time I did it, I was like, oh, my nails do look pretty good. Like they just look nice. Everything was smooth. It was like, okay. And then I've been doing it once a week. So I've been doing it probably now for 4 weeks.
All right.
And the other day, I looked down at my nails. I'm like, oh, my nails have kind of... They're growing. And usually when they start growing, they get very brittle and they break. Can you see them?
Hold on. Yeah, they look long.
Yeah, they're long. And you know what? They feel like Can you hear that?
Strong. I hear you tapping back there.
They feel strong.
Well, I probably went and ordered this off their website when I received Dory's text because I love to buy things and try things. But you know what? Actually, I have been on a bit of a nail journey, which is why it was funny that you just happened to mention this last night, because I have stopped getting gel manicures as of October when I got a gel manicure and something happened. I don't know if it was during the removal or what, but it like peeled away a huge chunk of like a layer of my nail. And I finally was like, this is my sign to stop. I had to like grow out this kind of like weird chunk that was missing in my thumbnail. And it took about 5 months to grow it out. Oh, and during God. That time I was using an OPI. I kind of alternated between this OPI nail repair stuff. It's called OPI Repair Mode Bond. And then another nail repair product, which the name is escaping me, but I will make sure to have it correct in our show notes. So if you want to click on it, you can find it. And then in the last month, I dug out my old bottle of OPI Nail Envy, and I have been applying it religiously and being really consistent. And my nails feel really strong and healthy. So I have been trying to really just like accept my natural nails and then try to, you know, treat them as best I can rather than trying to like cover them up with a gel or a hard gel. Like it's just, I have just kind of finally realized, and it took me long enough, that like my nails are super thin and super weak and it's just not going to work. I'm not going to be a person who can wear like a Gel X extension and then go about my life.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I make them healthy? Well, Dory seems to have found a really intriguing answer. And you know what? I have like followed, because I got really into nail repairing and like nail care in the last year or so. So I have seen this woman, this doctor on TikTok for a while. Like I have looked at this nail care kit and I've been like, no way, is this real? And have watched her videos. So you've changed my, I mean, like your testimony, I should say, has inspired me to go for it. So I will report back.
I'm really curious to hear what you think. I'm also wondering if I could use this on my toenails.
I'm sure you could.
Because my toenails really need help.
I don't see why not.
So now I haven't tried the manicure yet.
Okay.
But I'm planning on it. So that's my endorsement for today, Kate.
I like this story. I'm excited to try this out. Caroline Moss recommended another nail care kit on her Instagram. I was going to look at that as well. I apologize for not knowing it off the name of it off the top of my head. I'm sure Caroline is so good about having everything like linked and organized. I'm sure it can be found in her newsletter or on her site or her Instagram. But she also had something that she was like, this really works. I love this. And she's another person who doesn't share stuff unless she truly likes it. So
totally.
I'm glad that everybody's kind of taking care of their nails, because I gotta say, like, I don't know. I know some people can wear like a lot of the heavier polish, but it really messes up my nails every time.
It's intense. It's really intense.
Yeah.
So, well, Kate, right. should we introduce our guest?
Oh my gosh, talk about somebody who expresses themselves with their nails and their beautiful nail art.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Dory, why don't you tell everybody who we're talking to today?
We are talking to none other than Francesca Lee Ramsey, known as Cheska Lee on social media. She is an American comedian, activist, television and YouTube personality, and actress who has appeared on MTV and MSNBC. She's a multi-talented artist who starred in various roles on TV and film, written for Comedy Central and Amazon. She is also the creator and star of the award-winning web series MTV Decoded. She also hosts the popular podcast Let Me Fix It and She is also the host of another podcast, Black History for Real, that launched a few months ago on Wondery. That is also really great. She is like, when people use the word multi-hyphenate, I feel like that is like, there's a picture of Francesca Ramsey there.
Yeah. I mean, what can't she do?
What can't she do? She's amazing. I loved getting to talk to her. So enjoy our conversation.
Well, as I said to Dory yesterday, Francesca, you are someone who I have followed online forever, beyond a decade.
What?
I would say,
same.
Yes. Like, this is very exciting for both of us, I think, partially because like our internet dreams are coming true, but also because it's just been so amazing to get to kind of like experience your life along with you over such an extended period of time. So thank you for so generously bringing us along on your
journey. Oh, wow.
Journeys.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it is. I have been on the internet a very long time. It's bizarre to even really think about.
It is, right? It's like we've all been living in the same dorm for like 100 years or something. It's weird. I don't know what the equivalent is, but it is a strange experience. Well,
yeah.
We kick off every episode with guests asking about a current self-care practice in their life. And this can really be absolutely anything, whatever that looks like to you, big or small. Is there anything that you are kind of doing right now or engaging in right now that helps you take care of yourself?
Oh, I love a foot rub. There's a foot rub place by my apartment.
Okay.
It's $30 for an hour. And they even like throw in a little like shoulder rub too. And it's delightful. It's so nice. It's just, and I know some people have like weird things about feet. So, you know, do with this what you will. But I enjoy it. I feel like it's low pressure. I don't have to get naked. Mm-hmm. I don't have to put a robe on. I can still look at my phone, which I love. I love listen to music and scroll through Pinterest while I get my feet rubbed. That's been a really nice way for me to unwind and unplug.
I went to a
foot
rub.
You have a foot thing.
I don't like feet. I don't think I would succeed in giving foot rubs professionally, honestly, or personally. But I recently went to my first like foot massage place and it was unreal. Like it was so relaxing and felt
extremely
decadent.
There's something in your feet. There's something in there.
They hold a lot of tension. Yeah. They hold a lot and they're often, you know, overlooked.
Yes.
Good choice. I love that.
I want to ask about one other thing that you said when you were describing this, that you were scrolling through Pinterest. And I feel like
yes,
we don't talk about Pinterest as much anymore.
Oh, Pinterest is when I want to like unplug my brain, I look on Pinterest. There's something really I just like calming about, like I love, for me, my boards are all very organized. It's like recipes I'm never going to make, clothing I'm never going to buy, like homes that I'm never going to live in. Like just, but there's something nice about seeing things and I'm like a Pokemon trainer. I'm like, ooh, there's a piece of jewelry. Put it on my jewelry board. Ooh, there's a piece of artwork. And I just like, I don't know. It's almost like it's like a mix and match game, I guess. And I like it, especially when I'm getting foot rubbed, because I don't want to read news. I don't want to, and I don't want to scroll through Instagram and see what everybody else is doing. I don't want to read gossip. I don't want to look at anything that's like disturbing my peace. Mm-hmm. Pinterest is just pretty images. So that's my foot rub process.
It's interesting, Dory, that you mentioned we don't hear about Pinterest because it's still huge. And
huge. Totally.
Yeah. And my kids love it. And
oh,
like
interesting.
Teens and tweens use Pinterest. Yes. I have to monitor their Pinterest because, you know, they're not on other social media platforms, but they all these 13-year-olds are on Pinterest.
I love it because it really does like learn who you are. So it just populates, like you save for me, like I really love like really bold eye makeup and stuff because I'm bald girly. So I need like, you know, I need some makeup on my face. And so just I save one blue eyeliner and it's like, here's 80 more blue eyeliners. And I'm like, yes. So
it's like weirdly almost the kind of thing where the algorithm is doing what it's supposed to do in a good way.
Yeah. 1000%. It really works.
Interesting. It also sounds like, and I don't know if it does this for you, but what you're describing is almost scratching the itch of like putting things in a cart.
Yeah.
Like almost kind of like you're curating your own, like you're a Sims and you're curating your own Sims self. I don't know. There's something kind of nice about, and maybe it's aspirational. I don't know, but that sounds soothing, but also like it scratches an itch that sometimes I scratch in other ways, less productive ways.
Maybe. No, it really is. It's also kind of like window shopping. Like it's just very low pressure. I'm just like, ooh, that's pretty. Oh, I love that. I would love to make that. I'd love to live there. That's so cool. I look at like DIY projects that I'm never going to do, but I'm just fascinated. I love watching people's process. I love looking at like Architectural Digest and like looking at people's closets and stuff. And so I get to do all of that on Pinterest from the comfort of my home or a foot massage chair.
Kate, I feel like we've also been talking a lot recently about like how so much of social media has kind of strayed from its original roots. And as we're talking about Pinterest, it does kind of occur to me that like this is because it is social media, but it feels nicer somehow.
Yeah. It's not angry. It's not a bunch of people yelling at each other.
Totally.
And it's like, and look, and you know, full disclosure, like I do a bit of yelling on the internet at times. You know, sometimes we need that.
There's a lot to yell about.
There's a lot to yell about. It can be very cathartic. And especially when it comes to like finding community around shared interest, even if it's something you're mad about, like that can really make you feel seen, like you're shouting into a void. And now here are people that see you and are affirming like you're not, you know, out of your mind. But what I really like about Pinterest, I mean, not us doing like a paid Pinterest slide in my DMs. Give me a brand deal or something. Y'all must have some money. I like that it's just creative. And I think that that's the thing that I miss about social media, to your point, is that so much of content creation now is about like trolling people or baiting you into a response or like, you know, all that stuff. And Pinterest is literally like, here's a recipe that I made. And you're just like, oh, this is great. Like, or here's a piece of art that I worked on. It's not trying to trick you. I mean, it's like everything else, you have to kind of have this moment of like, is this real? Like, why are you saying this to me? Like, are you trying to get me upset? You know? Are you telling me the whole truth? Is this like AI manipulated? And on Pinterest, I feel like I know how to think about that.
Do you feel like as someone who has been sharing online in so many ways for a long time and then truly like creating content before that was really a thing? Do you feel more guarded? Like, have your boundaries changed or your relationship to the online spaces
Great
changed?
Question. Yes. Here's the thing. So I've been making video content specifically for almost 20 years. Yeah. I started making videos in 2006.
Which is like when YouTube launched, right?
I was in college. YouTube launched 2005. I was in college and I asked for an iMac for graduation because it had a camera in it. And I was like, I really want to make videos. When I started, I just shared so much. I shared way too much. And I learned over time that I needed to kind of close that door. And it's a blessing and a curse because like it helped me build my audience. But to your point, I am now at a place where I do share, but like in a way where like it makes the audience think I'm sharing way more than I am. And they don't realize, like, I film every video from this couch. You don't know I talk about dating. I don't talk about who I'm dating. I talk about work. I don't talk about where I'm not talking about what I'm working on. Like you don't, people yeah. are, and they, again, the downside of it is that people have a supreme level of comfort talking to me in a way that I would never talk to strangers. Like people share really difficult things going on in their lives, which I feel so honored that they trust me with those things. But then also people will be like, you should do da 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 da. And I'm like, we do not know each other,
right?
You know, or like, you're better than this. I'm disappointed that you did da da da. I'm like, you don't know. You really don't know anything about me. You know what right. I show you.
Yeah.
And so I really am in a place where I share less about like my personal life. And when I do share things about my personal life, I have distance from it. So I'm like, this thing happened and it happened like 3 years ago. It didn't happen last week.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's really it's interesting like how, because the real time share is so.
Yeah, I don't
like,
do that.
The urge, the like urge to just have it happen and then immediately post it. Dory, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, you know, how Kim Kardashian used to post from her trips and then she got robbed and now it's all later. Whenever she posts about a trip of hers, it's always like after the fact. She's never still there. Same with her
Similarly, I'm not like, I'm walking my dog right now. I'm on my way to the gym. I just got back from a trip. I'm packing because I'm going out of town. I don't do any of that anymore. And I used to.
I love your point though. Like, I mean, I think for them it's largely like a safety and security thing, but I like how you are also framing it as like, this gives you time to just kind of do it more on your own terms and think like, take a moment to reflect on exactly what you want to say.
Especially if it's to your point, like it is the safety stuff too, but it's also like if I get into an argument with somebody and I'm really mad about it, like in the past, my instinct would be, and I mean past like 10, 12 years ago, I would, you know, make content about it. And now I give myself time to like process and really understand how I feel about it and not make like a snap judgment. And even when I make content about things going on in the world, like I kind of wait to see one, like when a news story breaks, you don't always have all the information. The information changes every single day. The Kate Middleton thing is a perfect example. Like, no shade to anyone who was like making jokes about it. I understood the impulse, but like now here we are a few weeks later and everyone's like, holy shit, I said some crazy stuff. It's like, yeah, you could have waited like a week.
Yeah,
just wait like 2 weeks and then like just take a temperature check.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm also like, especially when it comes to pop culture and trending news, I'm at a place where I don't want to say something just to say something. I'm only going to say something if I think I have something to add to the conversation and something that I haven't seen anybody else say. But that's not where social media is right now.
I was going to say, like, that is a novel concept.
Oh, yeah. But I would argue that's why I've been able to make content for so long. Because there's some people that are like, okay, this thing happened. I have to make a video this moment.
Right.
Because the wave is going to pass and no one's going to be talking about this tomorrow. And I'm kind of like, well, I'm not going to make a video saying the same thing everyone else is saying. I'd rather just wait and like figure out what my take on it is. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I have nothing to say. And I'm like, share something somebody else posted.
Yeah.
So we're just going to take a short break and we will be right back. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift-giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We have gifted this to many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app, you set up the Wi-Fi.
Boom.
You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents.
Same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also, like, my brother has the app, so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app, so she can add photos. My parents also have it, so they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame, is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about... We have two Aura Frames in our house. I have one in my office and one in our family room. And
do
my kids love it.
Do they have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe I should get one from my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also then you're not taking up your email storage. So win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code FOREVER35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and
my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Now, look, both Dory and I love our Quince items.
You might even call us Quince heads.
You might. I would say you should. In fact, if you don't address us as such, we might get upset. In all seriousness, I have a variety of clothing from Quince, everything from a beautiful cashmere sweater to a very simple, easy white tee to this gorgeous pink summer dress. You can really like get your whole wardrobe filled with quality pieces at really reasonable prices. You can get organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. They even have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, which I want. Just going to announce that here. I'm coming for that jewelry.
You're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middle people and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. Was there a moment from your life that like kind of shifted the way you handled things, or is it just like years of experience and growth and like watching the way like, you know, change as a human and also the way the world has changed kind of online?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, my first TV job was on the nightly show, Comedy Central, and I was very active on Snapchat at the time. And on Instagram, but I don't think we had Instagram stories yet. And I would Snapchat everything. I would be like, "Hey Snapchat, I'm walking to work. Hey Snapchat, I'm leaving the gym. Hey, I'm doing da 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 da." And I would just share so much. And I remember one day after we had taped the show, I was really distraught about how I felt I had performed on the panel. And we were in Larry's office and I was just like, "Oh, I think I did a bad job," and da, 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 da. And Larry was like, "Well, maybe if you didn't spend so much time on Snapchat." And I went,
oh
my God. I like forgot that my boss like had access to the same internet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Like to me, I'm always someone who's juggling multiple things, but like, if I was being really honest with myself, I was giving time and energy to places that were not making me productive at work. Mm-hmm. And then I was like feeling unproductive at work and I was going, "Oh, like, well, yeah, mama, you're like on Twitter all day arguing with people and like, you know, you're showing your work on Snapchat instead of like doing the work." So that was like a really eye-opening moment for me. And just thinking about like my online presence as like a resume of sorts, for better or for worse. Like, hopefully you see my work and you're like, "Oh, I want to work with her." Or you see my work or you see my values and you're like, "No, she's not going to be the right fit for us. And so thinking about like, would I be okay with like a prospective employer seeing this? And like my mom mm-hmm. follows me on social media. So I'm always like, oh God, my mom's going to see this.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, I don't know. I appreciate that so much because I think it's really hard to resist the kind of internalized and externalized pressure to always be sharing and participating and having something to say. And this has been something I've been thinking a lot about over the last few years. And it's a weird, it takes work. Like it's a lot, it goes kind of against the flow of everything right now. And it feels, I personally find it challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw someone say this and I'm probably going to butcher it, but this is not coming from my brain. But this idea that we were not meant to know what hundreds of thousands of people are thinking at the same time.
Yes,
and 100%. We're not supposed to be able to just, you know, everybody has bad takes. Some are worse than others. Some are like objectively oppressive. Some are objectively racist, sexist, homophobic, mm-hmm. all the isms, whatever. And then sometimes you just need to like say the dumb thing out loud to go, that doesn't make sense. Why did I even say that? But like social media pushes you to produce a whole piece of content about it and do it as fast as possible and hope it gets in front of the most eyeballs. And then a few hours later, you're like, holy shit, I actually don't think that at all. Or my opinion has changed on that because I have new information. And social media doesn't really encourage nuance.
Yeah.
Sometimes more than one thing can be true and it can't be summed up into 240 characters, or it can't be summed up into, you know, TikTok is so short form, and that's been really hard for me to learn because I was so used to like the YouTube school of thought where it was like 5 to 7 minutes. Now, if I make a 2-minute video, people will be like, long, this is too long. And I'm like, 2 minutes?
Wow.
Everything can't be summed up in 2 minutes. You know? So you're right. It is counterintuitive.
You're bringing, as you're kind of mentioning all these platforms and like different jobs you've had, you're bringing up something that I was curious about as I was listening to your episode of Let Me Fix It, the Behind the Podcast episode.
Oh, thanks.
because it was a really amazing episode, and I encourage everyone to listen to it. Just because your podcast is great, but also, I mean, you really get into it, like what it is like to be a creative person and the economics of it. And it also made me think about just like how much uncertainty and reinvention we are constantly being asked to do and how it's just all such a hustle. And I'm wondering, like today, how, like right now, how are you feeling about the hustle, especially in light of how the whole world of media has changed in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. And also having still coming off of a very long two strikes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty exhausted. Mm. I'm very much in a place where like I've been my own boss for a long time, and it's truly a blessing and a curse. I'm somebody who thrives on schedule. I'm very type A. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is because I have so little certainty in my career. Like I have to be like, these are the times I work out. These are the times I play tennis. These are the times I have available to go to dinner with friends. I don't go out on these nights. I don't do whatever it is that I'm kind of creating as my schedule that I'm working within. It really helps me because otherwise day to day, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know when an audition is coming in. I don't know when a meeting's coming in. I don't know when a check is coming in. Yeah. I have to chase people for money. Yeah. I have to like tap dance for opportunities. Yeah. It's very, very tiresome. And to your point about the strikes, I definitely feel like last year, the thing that was getting me through was the prospect of the strikes ending and like going back to some sort of normalcy. And that just hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. And I was maybe naive in that respect, but I just needed something to get through because the strike was so hard, like literally no working. And I was like, okay, how do I, like, what do I do now? Yeah. So I had to create my own new schedule during that. And then as for just like what I'm doing, I'm juggling a bunch of jobs, which again, I'm very fortunate, but I look forward to a time where I have like one. Mm-hmm. I would love just one job. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's like. One W-2?
Yeah. What a weird concept.
I can't even imagine. So I will say, like, despite the uncertainty, I feel like I've reached a creative peak that I'm excited about. Like, I feel like I've been doing a lot of music stuff recently, which has been really fun. Cool. And that's been cool because I've always been musical, but I haven't like really done a ton of music online, like little bits here and there, but I'm like writing music, I'm playing instruments, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm writing yes. songs based off trending stories. And I'm like, nobody else is fucking doing this. Bam, here's a song, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's been really exciting. I'm not making a living off of it. But
sure.
I'm feeling like really creatively inspired. Like I have like three songs going at all times where I'm like, oh, this will be a good idea. And I'm kind of like waiting for a news story to tie the song to.
That's really cool.
Have you always been a music person, or is that something you kind of, oh, okay.
That's yeah. So cool. I had a brief second where I like really thought I was going to be a singer. Do you guys remember Jane Magazine?
Oh,
of course. Yes.
So Jane used to have this yearly reader CD contest where you could submit music and they would put out a CD that they would mail out with the magazine, like in a plastic sheet, and the CD would be in there. And I had a song on that CD one year. I was dating this guy whose dad was a musician, and he had a studio in his house, and we cut a demo and I turned in one of the songs. It was on the reader CD. The CD went out to a bunch of record labels, and I had a meeting with Columbia, and I was like, oh my God, I'm making it. I'm going to become a singer. And they really wanted me to spend a bunch of money on a demo that I didn't have. They were like, the songs are good, but they were recorded in like somebody's garage, you know? And they were like, you need a real demo before we can like try and do a showcase with you and like all the stuff that helps you get signed and stuff. And I didn't have the money to do it. So yeah, I didn't do it, but I played guitar, I played piano, and I was in musical theater, and I was in a band, and I had like a dance record when I was in college that got some airplay a little bit. Like I just,
that's so cool. You know,
yeah. I've always just done a lot of artsy things. I've always had my hands in like lots of creative pots.
You wrote a book a few years ago, mm-hmm. and when I knew we were going to talk to you, I remembered what an impact it had on, again, not to be like me, but I am going to say me, but I appreciated this so much that you at the time shared, and I think you shared even like a picture from your journal about how you had set this goal for yourself of being a New York Times bestseller and how it didn't happen, and kind of the process that you went through of, you know, setting this goal and it not happening, and then feeling a certain way about yourself and about that, and not kind of taking a minute to pause like what you did accomplish, and maybe also it kind of led you to think a little bit about even, you know, just what it means, how we define success and all these things.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was valuable for me as another human being to see somebody else talk about like not just setting goals and not like quote unquote meeting them, but like disappointment and what it means to let yourself feel that. Because especially I think even now, you know, 6 years later, online is even more performative, what we put online, and it's, the perception is so not the reality. And I really, I'm curious, like, do you reflect back on that now? Was that a turning point for you in processing what you viewed as your successes and failures?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I 1000%. I remember I went back to therapy ahead of my book being published largely because I was dealing with so much anxiety about the book coming out. And I was also in the process of doing a pilot at Comedy Central at the same time as the book.
Super
and
chill.
I was so exhausted. I was so stressed out. And it was also like, it was kind of like that, you know, Jane Rader CD. It was this moment of like everybody around me, me being like, this is it. You're about to, your whole life's going to change. Enjoy this right now. Like we'd be at lunch. We'd be like, you're not going to be able to do this ever again because next year you're going to have a show on TV and you're going to be a star. And I was like, nah, like I was so stressed. So I got back into therapy. I was like, I need some help with this. And something my therapist talked a lot about with me, and I still talk to her about this day to this day, is like setting goals that you can control. Because when you set a goal for yourself, that the metrics are not things that you personally can determine their outcome, like you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. You know, I can't decide that I can't make myself a New York Times bestseller. I can't make myself have a hit TV show. I can't make myself book the audition, but I can write 5 pages a day. I can, you know, have a really great audit, like make sure that I'm off book for my audition. I can, you know, take a sketch class. I can do all of these things to like help me, invest in my craft and continue challenging myself in that way, but I can't determine the outcome. And so, you know, the New York Times bestseller thing, as I'm sure you both know, there's so many other factors that have nothing to do with how many books you sell. Like that was like a mind breaker to me, because there were people on that list that I knew I sold more books than. I was like, how is this person on the list? And my therapist was like, that kind of proves the point, right? Like you can't determine that. There's just no way. And then like, if you look at the New York Times bestseller list, there are sometimes people's names with a little dagger next to it. It means that there's like questionable potential that they like mass purchased books, because that's a thing that people do. And I was like, that's fucked up. Like you know, something sketchy happened with this book and it's still on the list. Like I was pissed. I was so pissed. But yeah, it's been like a continuous learning process for me, and I'm still in it. Like I turned 40 last year, and I feel like that's been like a thing where I'm like, ugh, everyone's 27 and everyone's like blowing up. And I'm like, love that for you. And I do. I love all of that for y'all, but having this feeling like, what am I doing? But also just acknowledging that like, I'm doing the best that I can and I can't control the outcome and stressing about it. It's not going to change it. So I might as well just be like, well, this is what's going to be.
Everybody does feel 27 right now.
Everyone is 20
or younger.
Is this what people in their 40s said about us when we were 27?
Yes, it is.
I feel like, did they though?
I mean, I think
it was.
So.
Are you sure?
I hope they did. I hope they did. They deserve.
They earned it. I guess. Did I feel like I was like the center of the universe when I was 27?
I guess
you kind of do in your 20s. There is this like vibe of invincibility, and like you kind of feel like you know everything, even though you know nothing.
I just remember being a kid and my mom picking me up from school one time and my friends being like, your mom's so pretty. And I was like, she's 40. And I felt like, I was somehow being like, isn't that crazy? She's attractive and 40. Like, what?
I know. And then you hit it and you're like, what? I can't believe that was the age I thought was so old.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like, I do feel definitively adult, but I also just feel the most me I've ever felt in my life, which is incredible, but also like kind of disorienting. Like I just know myself so well at this age. And like my friends too, where they're like, we're not going to invite Francesca. She's not coming to that. I'm like, that's right. I'm sure not. You know, I don't do that. I'm not interested in that. Like whatever it is. And versus a time in my life where I would be so worried about like how I would be perceived if I didn't do certain things, or if someone didn't like me or I felt like there was friction or whatever, there's just so much like micromanaging how other people feel about me. And like, I'm so past that now. I'm just like, whatever, you're going to think how you think. This is it. Take it or leave it. You're not my person. You're not my person. You're not the friend I'm supposed to be friends with. You're not the place I'm supposed to be working, whatever it is. And like, there's something so liberating about that.
It sounds amazing. I'm not there yet, but I would like that. That is aspirational for me. That sounds, yeah.
Take us with you.
Those coattails.
So we're just going to take a short break and we will be right back.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Kate, you know I've been getting into like the spring cleaning vibe.
Yeah, you have really been kind of doing a refresh, if you will.
I've been trying, but I gotta say, it's a lot more fun when you also get to do a little space refresh. So I'm talking like moving furniture around, maybe get a new piece here or there, swap out the blankets. Like I'm almost ready for my cotton blanket instead of my wool blanket.
Yes, the seasons are changing and so is your home.
Exactly. And with Jenny Kane's Elevated Home Essentials, I can get exactly what I need to create the kind of place I frankly never want to leave. Jenny Kane Home is a California brand through and through, and their interior pieces are instant classics. From their candle scents, I don't have to tell you how much I love the musk candle, and Kate, of course, is partial to the Montecito candle.
Always and forever.
Yeah. To their iconic furniture and the coziest pillows, think clean, effortless, and totally refined. Jenny Kane Home is all about the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a space that never goes out of style and always feels fresh as spring. Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code F35 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, jennikayne.com, promo code F35.
Do you have like thoughts on how self-care or your perspective on beauty has changed over the years?
Yeah, it's so interesting because so like I got kind of into TikTok like in the past 2 years. I was late. I missed the boat on it. I was really like, ugh, I don't want to be on TikTok. I really enjoy it. It's really fun. But the thing that's been so interesting for me is the audience is so young there and they can never believe that I'm 40. They go nuts. Anytime I mention that I'm 40, they're always like, what? You look amazing. And I'm like, oh I God. Looked fine, but also yeah. like 40 is not old. Right. Like, so my perspective on age is so different now because I used to think that 40 was quote unquote old also. Mm-hmm. And I like how I look, but I also like, I also invest in how I look, you know, like I wear makeup, I do skincare. I got my eyebrows microbladed. Like I have like, you know, I wear under eye cream. Like I do all of those things. And so this whole conversation that's been happening online recently around like, does Gen Z look old and do millennials look
right.
young? Yes. Like I kind of hate when people tell me they're like, girl, yes, you look 26.
Totally.
I'm like, no, I don't. Like I don't look 26 and there's nothing wrong with looking 40. Yes. Like it was just, yes. it was so weird. There was like this whole trend of people being like, oh, how yeah, old that. Do I look? And it's like, it was so strange. So my perspective is very much just like,
totally.
Aging is a privilege.
Yeah.
And like not everybody gets to get old. Mm-hmm. Like getting older is not something we should be fighting against. Like it's natural. There's nothing wrong with getting older. It's okay to like, you know, care about how you look, but like this relentless pursuit of youth mm-hmm. is so like dystopian. When certain yeah. people are literally crystallized at a certain age because they pass away
yes.
and like, here you are being like, I can't have one line on my face. It's like, life is way too short for that. So that's been like a new revelation for me. And also like, my body has changed
yeah.
at 40. Like, mm-hmm. I used to be so obsessed with being thin. Like I used to just be always dieting and always running and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, this is just it. Like I work out to feel strong and to, you know, feel accomplished and have that schedule, and my goals in the gym are like being able to do pull-ups and ooh. Flexibility. I really want to be able to do a split. Like those are my goals. They're not like I need to have a certain shape. And that's a very new perspective.
I was flying this week and I lift weights twice a week, and I was like, I just need to lift weights so I can lift up my fucking carry-on and put it overhead, because I pack, you know, if you're like a hardcore carry-on person, you're stuffing bricks in that thing. And you got it. Like that is, it's a functional mm-hmm. thing you need to be able to do, right? Like fitness can be very functional. And that's nice to kind of think about as letting go of kind of the diet culture
yeah.
side of fitness a little bit as we get older.
Oh yeah. And that was like a really big like mind fuck for me to yeah. see like pictures of my younger self and realize like I was so thin and I was so stressed about like I need to work out this much mm. and I need to like measure my food and I need to do all these like ridiculous things. And then I see the pictures of myself, I'm like, what was I do? I was fine. I was so thin. I look so thin. What was wrong with me? And realizing like how that permeates every part of our lives, like as women, like we can't really get away from it.
Well, especially because so it's been women our age, mm-hmm. kind of broadly, were raised in a time when, I mean, the messaging was,
oh my God,
very different.
Remember when they were yeah. trying to convince us that Jessica Simpson was fat?
The high waisted, yes. the high waisted wide leg jeans she wore that time.
The high waist. With like a little leopard belt and like a little tank top. And they were like, Jessica, what? Or even like when Tyra was on the cover of that magazine and they were like, America's God. Next top waddle. What?
Oh,
she was like a size 8.
God.
It was a bonkers. And it was just, it was so normalized. I remember on Dawson's Creek that Michelle Williams was the fat slut, quote unquote, fat slutty one on there.
What?
They were always talking about how big she was. She was like a size 6.
It's similar, she was so like small. Brittany Murphy and Clueless. Like her character was chubby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Bridget Jones' Diary is all about how she needs to lose weight and she's so small. So you're right. Yeah, we got a huge brunt of it. And that also makes me feel like such an adult, because I'm like, I love that today's youth are just like embracing their bodies. Like I'm like, oh, I love that for you. Do you have any like
beauty products or skincare products that you love right now, or that are like your ride or die, like cult faves that you always stick with?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a cult fave, but I live and die by Super Goop's daily sunscreen. That's a statement. Yeah, because you know why? Because I think a lot of people, and especially as a Black woman, a lot of people don't wear sunscreen every day. And a lot of Black people are like, I don't need sunscreen. Yes, we do. We need sunscreen also. And I remember it was really my makeup artist who became a really good friend of mine that told me, because I've always had clear skin. I've never really worn a ton of makeup. And one of the things she said to me when we first started working together, you have to start wearing sunscreen every single day. It's really good for your skin. Even when it's not sunny outside, even when it's cloudy, you're still ingesting those rays. And so I just really got in the habit of it. And especially because I do have darker skin, it's hard to find sunscreen that's not like ashy and like leaves a film. That Super Goop goes straight on. It gives you a little shine. It's like so thin and light. I love it so much.
Great endorsement. That's an empty bottle repurchase product, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I wear it every single day.
Francesca, before we wrap, could you tell our listeners where they can find your various your various creative output, let's say? Your everything. Oh my God.
Yes. Well, I host a podcast with my best friend DeLon called Let Me Fix It. We've been saying that it's like John Oliver meets Shark Tank. Every episode we talk about something from the past.
Yeah.
And then we pitch how we would fix it. And then I also have a new podcast at Wondery, co-hosted by Conscious Lee. It's called Black History for Real. And it is a storytelling meets conversation podcast where we are doing these like full deep dives on little known Black historical figures with like sound design. And like it's like an audiobook, and then Conscious and I have conversations in the middle. It's such a cool format. I've learned so much working on it. And then I'm all over social media as Cheska Lee, Cheska Leigh. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I am technically still on I quit Twitter, but my assistant is running my Twitter for me, just like posting videos and stuff. So you won't get any hot takes from me over on Twitter. But my content is still getting posted there. And yeah, I think
thank you so much. This has been so lovely to get to talk to you and just kind of long form hear all your thoughts. It's been really wonderful. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, it was funny, Kate, because the day after we talked to Francesca, I was on a panel with her.
That was like perfect timing.
It was so funny. It was perfect timing. And now that I'm thinking about it, I was like already kind of sick when we did the panel.
Oh, Tori. That's right. Because I saw you the day after that panel, and that's when like shit was really hitting the fan.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor thing.
Oh, what are you going to do? But you know, that was my intention last week, was just to like deal with my sickness. I think I have maybe turned a corner. I was able to sleep last night without inhaling Afrin.
So you sound a little better.
Yeah, I feel a little better. Like there's still a ton of mucus coming out of me. But it seems that the rate of mucus seems to have maybe slowed a little bit.
You and I were talking before we started recording, and we both were curious, where does mucus come from? How does it get made? Like, is there a podcast that can tell us what is mucus?
What is mucus?
What is it?
I know.
Why is there so much of it?
Why is there, there's just so much.
Why does your nose, why do you blow it out and more immediately shows up?
Immediately.
And you know, I don't even want to Google what is mucus because the pictures are going to be so bad. And I know I can just Google what is mucus. Okay. You know what? I did it. I lied. I did it. It's a clear liquid consisting of water, salts, and protective immune cells. Mm. That tells me nothing.
That was not very informative.
No. God, though, you know, I've gotten really intimate with mucus over the last 4 years because all I do is shove things up people's noses to test for COVID. Like, I'm just so...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many times have I shoved a little swabby thing in my kid's nose?
Oh, my God. I know. Ugh.
Too many times.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this week my intention is to just kind of like ease back into society. Like I've been barely like leaving the house and I think I need to start to re-enter the world.
Without pushing it,
but I'm starting to just be like, okay, this is getting a little old.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Being sick is, it takes it out of you, you know?
It does, Kate. It really does.
And bouncing back is never pleasant.
It's really not.
It's not fun. No, it's not.
Now, Kate, what about you? What do you have going on?
You know, Dory, I'm trying to think here. Okay. This week, for me, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sitting at my computer where I work, and there are four empty cans of bubbly water that have been sitting here for like a few days. Like I'm having a bit of a resistance to cleaning up my desk.
Oh, sure.
By a bit, I mean a lot. And I'm much happier in a space that is organized, but the challenge of getting through the like tidied, mm-hmm. doesn't need to be perfect, just mm-hmm. the tidiness. Mm-hmm. And right now it's really in the kind of like chaos mess phase.
Yep.
You know, the empty coffee cups, the cords, the mm-hmm. giant shaker of salt next mm-hmm. to me because I also eat at my desk. So I think and every morning I come into work and I'm like, today's the day I'm going to take 20 minutes to clean this up. And then I'm like, no, I can't. I've got to work. Mm-hmm. So if I speak it now, it really, whenever I speak these intentions into the ether, it really helps me commit to them. So this is it. I'm cleaning up my workspace.
Great. Okay.
I know it will make me feel better. I must do it.
Let's speak it.
Okay.
Speak on it.
Spoken. All right. Well, you know, I realize we didn't tell folks up top where you can find us.
Oh, yeah.
But just look in the show notes. If you're like, how do I find these two people? It'll be in the show notes of this podcast. So, and we'll make sure to repeat it next week. We normally do, but we just forgot this week. But we also want to tell you that this podcast, Forever 35, is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and it's produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast. Thank you all so much for being here. Have a great day.
Bye.